Okay, bottom word of the page, Chavav Amid Beis. Itmar, we learned. Eid Zaymim, a person who's disqualified. We learned this Gemara already, but we're going to go through it again. If an Eid Zaymim means a witness, two witnesses testified that Reuven killed Shimon Friday morning in L.A., two others come along and they say, how can you testify that you saw them kill him Friday morning in L.A.? Friday morning you were with us. Right? So that's what's called Eid Zaymim. If two witnesses say Reuven killed Shimon, two witnesses say Levi killed Shimon, then it's called Hakhosha, contradicting each other, and they cancel each other out. But if they don't testify about the case itself, they testify about the witnesses, and they say, how could you testify that you saw him kill? We don't know who killed Shimon. We know Shimon is dead. But how can you say that you saw Reuven kill Shimon Friday morning in L.A.? Friday morning, you two guys were with us in Hawaii. Okay? So what's the Torah say? You believe the second group of witnesses. That's it. Logical, illogical, you believe the second group of witnesses. And you do to them what they wanted to do to the one they testified against. They testified that Reuven killed Shimon, so they wanted Reuven to get capital punishment. So you killed the two witnesses. Right, that's what we learned last time. So now the question is like this. They became Edom Zaymimin in Tishrei. Okay? Now, what happened is like this. We'll make it easier this time. Tishrei, they testified falsely. They said Reuven killed Shimon. They weren't disqualified until a half year later in Nisan. They didn't become disqualified for a half year later in Nisan. Correct?
He was not killed yet then. Nothing was happened. He was convicted.
Correct, they didn't kill him. Which is strange, because in Halacha, the day you convict him, you kill him. But that's irrelevant. Okay? By the way, it could be even they killed him. Then you would do to them what they, but they didn't kill them yet. Whatever. So now the question is, when do they become disqualified from? They testified Tishrei. They became disqualified Nisan a half a year later. Are they disqualified from Nisan onward? Or are they disqualified retroactively from Tishrei? Meaning any other testimony that they testified between Tishrei and Nisan, they're automatically disqualified. Or do we say, no, they become disqualified from here onward? Okay? This is the argument between Abai and Rava. So Gemara says, Eid Zaymim. Amar Abai says, Lamafreo Nifsal is disqualified. Now we're on Chav Zayin Amar Aleph. Top of the page. He says, Lamafreo Nifsal, Abai hold, he becomes disqualified retroactively, meaning any testimony they said from Tishrei onward is not a kosher testimony. Rav Amar Mikanu Lahabo Nifso. He's only disqualified from Nisan onward. What's the argument? The Gemara says like this. Abaya says retroactively he's disqualified because Me'idna da Asid, from the time that testified, Rosha who is a Rosha. The second Tishrei, we didn't find out until later. We didn't find out that he's a liar until half a year later. But the bottom line is, he was a liar in Tishrei. And he's a Rasha. And a Rasha cannot be a kosher witness. Therefore, don't place your hand with the Rasha, meaning, it says, Im Rasha mean, Al Toshis Rasha Aid. And the Gemara learns what the Torah means, is you can't make a Rasha as a witness. So Abaye says very simple. Yes, we found out he's wicked in Nisan, right? But the bottom line is, he's a liar since Tishrei. Because that's when he lied. So he's automatically not a kosher witness, he's a Rasha, and therefore he's disqualified retroactively. Rav Amar, Mikanu Lahabu Nifso. It's only from Nisan onward. Anything that happened before he actually disqualified him, he's still a kosher witness. Why? Because Eid Zaymim Chedishu, Eid Zaymim V'chal is a unique thing. It's a novelty. Why? My cause is the samcha hahani, samcha hahani. Why do you rely on the second group of witnesses and not on the first group of witnesses? Mm-hmm. Right? Normally, if two people cancel each other out, they're both no good. Here the Torah says, you go to the second one is believed, not the first. That's not normal, that's a chiddush. If it's unique, the din is, you can only do the uniqueness from the time it happens. So when were they actually disqualified? In Nissan. Right? So therefore, Nissan onward, they're not kosher, but between Tishrei and Nissan, anything they did was kosher.
But that one case in Tishrei, they are disqualified from that case in Tishrei.
Right. So that case disqualified. But the fact that the whole disqualification is illogical, so you can only go by what's unique. And therefore, from the time they actually disqualified, they're disqualified.
Evan,
what?
Who literally disqualified them? The judges?
No, the second group of witnesses.
So the witnesses had the power to disqualify other witnesses?
That's the whole uniqueness of Eid Zayman.
So the judges could not say anything?
Huh?
Sorry, I gotta be somewhere.
No problem.
The judges could not say anything in this matter?
Yeah, the judges ruled that the witnesses are disqualified.
So the witnesses, once they find out, then the judges will say, okay, you guys are disqualified, right? Who literally disqualified them?
Two people come to Beis Din and say, Reuven killed Shimon. Friday morning in L.A. Yeah? Comes along the second two in Beis Din. They can't do it outside of Beis Din. It has to be in Beis Din. They come to Beis Din and they say in front of the judge, the Beis Din, the judges, how can these guys testify what they said Friday morning when they were with us in Hawaii Friday morning?
Okay.
So who rules that they're not kosher? The Beis Din.
The judges, so they tell them, okay, you are disqualified.
Right. Now with that, we're going to do to you what you wanted to do to the guy who testified.
I forgot. They do the Rishon HaKidra?
Of course they do the Rishon HaKidra, but we're talking. Yeah, I mean, how do you know?
And the second one.
And both of them. But once you verify the second ones are kosher, you believe them.
So why not? We did the Rishon HaKidra.
Because you did the Rishon HaKidra on the first ones too. You did the Rishon HaKidra. Right.
No,
I'll tell you an interesting din. Two people say, I lent you $1,000. Two people say, I didn't lend you $1,000. Right? What's the din? You cancel each other out, there's no witnesses. Now, one of those, there's four witnesses. Two said, I did lend. Two says, you didn't lend. Yeah? One group is liars or not?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay, now. If this group comes to testify, group A and group B. So group A and group B cancel each other out, there's no testimony. But the bottom line is, either group A or group B are liars. Correct?
Yeah.
One of them are liars. Now, what happens if group A comes to a different, Beis Din in a different case to testify? Are they believed or not?
Mm-hmm. Not
yet. Maybe they're liars. Okay. The Pasha's Jews are Cheskes Kashrus. What happens if group B comes to testify?
Also you believe
him. You also believe him.
But one of them is...
What happens, though, if one from A and one from B come to testify?
Also
that's a Machlekes in the Gemara.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Because think
about
it. One of them is a liar.
One of them for sure is a liar. Mainly when you look at group A and group B, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah? So you can say, okay, we look at this group. There's no proof this group is straight. In our kosher, right? Liars. You look at group B, we don't have proof. Okay, Jews are cheskes kashrus. Chazaka that they're kosher. But one from group A and one from group B come to testify together. There's no question that both of, one of the two are liars. It can't be any other way, right? Yet one opinion says no, they're kosher. One opinion says they're not kosher.
Why do we say they're liars? Maybe they're mistaken?
No, because when you testify, you can't assume. When you testify, you're saying 100% for sure.
So the money he gave him is not for the loan, it was for something else he didn't know.
But no, then you're not liars. He said, we know it's a loan. Bezin would ask, was it a loan? Was it a gift? Was it this or that? No, I know, I heard him say it was a loan. Whatever. They check him out. You have a similar din with Tuma. There's two streets. Now, a doubtful Tuma in the Rishus HaRabim, in the public domain, is pure. Okay? A doubtful Tuma in the Rishus HaYachid is Tamei. No. Is Tamei. Okay?
One more time.
If there's a Tumah in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and we don't know, for instance, there's a Tumah in this street, yeah? And the guy, and there's two streets, this street and this street. And a guy doesn't remember which street he went on. So the din is because it's Rosh Hashanah Rabim, it's Tahor. That's exactly the cause. If it would be Rosh Hashanah Yachid, we're going to have from sight that it's Tummy. Right? Now, what happens, there's Tumah on this road, and there's Tumah on this, no. There's two roads, two streets. One is Tumah on it, and one doesn't. Okay? Now, one goes on, now you have two guys. One goes on street A, and one goes on street B. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
So now, we both come to ask a shaila by Bezdin. Am I Tomei or not? So what's the din? Listen to this. If they come separately to Bezdin, and this guy says, I went on street A, we know for sure that either on A or B there's Tumah. We know. One of the streets have Tumah.
Rishut HaRabim.
Rishut HaRabim. Mm-hmm. Right? So a guy says, you know what? I went on street A. Am I Tomei? So Bezin says, no, it's a doubt. You're Tahor. The other guy comes to Bezin and says, I went on street B. Am I Tahor? So what's the din? Bezin says, you're Tahor. I, one of them for sure is Tomei. But you look at each one individually, it's a doubt. What happens if they both come together to Bezin? Together, they come to Bezdin, and this guy says, I went on street A, and this guy says, I went on street B. Mm-hmm. So then Bezdin says, you both tell me.
Both tell me? It's a Rishut HaRabim.
Yeah. But one of them is for sure tell me.
Oh, then they made the other one tell me also.
Right.
But it's doubtful.
Huh?
But it's still doubtful.
No.
No, but one of them is for sure tell me.
And one of them is for sure tell
me. Right. So well, therefore they're both tummy. Because well, they're coming together.
They touch each other.
No,
not because they're touching each other.
So why not? So how do we do? Why both of them?
Because now they're both coming together. You can't say they're both tahor because it's against the reality. If they come separately, you look at each one individually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You look at each one individually. It's a doubt, so he's tahor. This one individually is a doubt, he's tahor. When they come together, not because they're touching each other, they come together, one of them is, there's no doubt that he's tummy.
Mm-hmm.
You have the same din, you learned smicha in Kufyud Aleph?
Tarvos?
Yeah. What happens?
You can't eat it all at the same time. Something
called
the
bottle
of the robe, you can't eat all the pieces.
No, you could eat all the pieces. You could eat all the pieces. Let's say you had 10 spoons in your compartment, yeah? And one spoon became treif.
Right.
One spoon is treif. And by mistake, your housekeeper put it back in the spoons. So now you have 10 spoons. Correct? 10 spoons. One of them is treif. But 9 are not. Correct? Now, any spoon I pick up, am I allowed to use?
Yes.
The majority is kosher. Rav, bottle berav. Majority of the spoons are kosher. The question is, can I use all 10 at the same time?
No. That's
To machlekes, but Dalach and Shchunar says he could.
It's better to wait 24 hours, though, no?
No.
Or
to
take one of them and
just push around
symbolically?
No.
So why is the machloket over there with regard to dinim mamonot? It's a machloket. That should be auto.
Which machloket by money?
You said, you know, the lending the money. That.
It's not a machloket.
No, you said the lending the money. We know one of them is liar.
Right. Because tum is different. There's a dinim suffix tum b'shasarab, and there's different dinim.
It's not because of the deraita we go lo chumra.
No. No, in that case, the guy, one of them is for sure a liar.
So here's one of them, for sure, Thomas. So,
but when they come separately, I look at him separately and look at him separately. When they come together, one's for sure Thomas.
That scenario really exists only with something you can't kosher.
Like, no, you
if
could.
It's not metal.
If it's no, metal, if it's metal, you could. No, the din stays kosher. The same.
You do kosher. If it's
plastic, you don't have to.
If you have just chicken.
Okay, let's not get.
No, I'm just saying it's the same thing. And then a batzah barov, you can't eat all of those at the same time.
What chicken?
You have 9 pieces of kosher chicken and 1 unkosher chicken falls into it, right? And then still you can't eat all of those pieces of chicken. You can eat it one by one successively, or you have to throw.
How are you supposed to put 10 pieces of chicken in your mouth at the same time?
One person can't eat all 10.
You could. If it's batzah barov, it's batzah barov.
But I don't understand.
If milk falls into your chicken soup and it's bottled in 60, you can eat the whole chicken soup or you have to leave out 1 ounce. So it depends. Yavish, min bamina, min bainamina, whatever. Okay, weiter.
What? I have a question about this.
Oh, good. We're coming back to yeah?
So, in case of capital punishment, if God forbid somebody is dead, and then the two groups come and they cancel each other. The judges say, okay, you guys go home.
But you mean the Bezgin killed the guy already?
No. The first group comes and says, this is...
Tell me the case. Reuven and two witnesses, group A comes and says what?
That Shimon is guilty.
That Reuven killed Shimon? So Reuven is guilty.
Correct.
No.
And then the other group comes and they said, no, he was with me.
Right.
And this thing, he didn't kill him.
Right.
Okay. So, Beit Din is going to cancel them, right?
No.
Yeah.
Hey, Jamie, believe the second group.
No, he's saying the Reuven.
He said, Imanu Yisem.
Yeah.
He said, you were with us.
Who was with them?
The witness was with them. So then you only believe the second group.
The second group.
Right.
So you punish the first group?
Yeah, you kill them.
Both witnesses?
Yeah. Yeah, but not the line. If two people say Reuven killed Shimon, and two people say Levi killed Shimon,
right.
One of them is also lying. But over there, they cancel each other out. You have no testimony, you have no witnesses. Here, the Torah is Chiddush, and that's what Rav holds. Because it's a Chiddush, it's something unique that you believe always the second. By the way, if a third group comes and does the same thing to the second group, let's say the third group comes and says, how could you testify that Friday morning he was with you in Hawaii? You were with us in China. On La Brea.
So the second cat only gets killed.
Yeah, the second group
gets
killed.
Right.
But the first group is killed already.
No. No, you don't kill them yet.
Wait, so the second group gets killed, so the first group are now good again, and
yep.
They can still testify?
Right.
In case
now it doesn't make sense. Who says this group is mad? Why do you believe this group over this group? You know, you believe the second over the first, and then you believe the third over the second. So, like, who's the honest guy here? So, the Torah says it's exercise cause you always believe the last one.
So, you kill Reuven and the witnesses?
No, Reuven doesn't get killed. Because the second group disqualified the first group of witnesses. So, there's no testimony that Reuven killed Shimon. Right? There's no witnesses that Reuven killed Shimon because they disqualified that group of witnesses that said Reuven killed Shimon.
But then the third group disqualified the second group.
So correct.
The first group is right again.
Right. Hey, if you have a third group. If you have a fourth group, it's again the same thing. You just, you know.
Right. Do you see Adim's own name with your experience?
No, there's no Adim's name today.
Only two guys.
But there's no capital punishment
not
today.
Capital money, man.
I've never seen it. You don't see it today. What?
In case that the witnesses, they did not see what happened. They said, you know, we were not in the room. We saw the bloody knife and everything. Okay, go home. Now, what about the blood, that there is a bloodshed?
No.
I mean, in the city, there is a bloodshed.
So the city has to do tshuva.
They have to...
Let me ask you a question. If a guy kills somebody and there's nobody watching, nobody saw it.
But they don't do investigation. It's not like you...
They don't do it. They do an investigation, but they're not going to kill the guy. Yeah, they're going to kill. That's on the outside of the city. They're not going to do anything to the guy because there's no witnesses. We said circumstantial evidence in Torah and capital punishment is worthless. You see a guy running into a room with a knife, and he comes out with a bloody knife, and you see a guy dead in the room, and there's nobody else. There's no windows. There's no doors. There's nothing. There's no way if anybody else could have gotten in there. So in American law, it's guilty. In Torah law, it's circumstantial evidence. You don't kill financial money, yeah. But you don't kill on circumstantial evidence. Not only that, another fundamental difference we learned before in the Mishnah, that in secular law, if a guy admits a crime that he killed somebody, you believe him, you kill him if there's capital punishment, right? In Torah, if a guy says, I killed somebody, you don't believe him.
Why
did Hodat Baldin
come out?
It's only in money. You're not believed to make yourself a Rasha. So he's not believed to testify against himself. But money, either like we said, either it's a gift or he's believed more than witness. But that's only in money, not in sin. If a guy wants to do tshuva, he says, hey, Bezdin, guess what? I just ate chazer yesterday and I want you to whip me. They don't whip him.
He's doing it because he did tshuva.
So what? Let him whip himself. Bezdin can't whip him. He's not believed. Not only that, is he a kosher witness from now on? A guy says, I killed somebody. He comes to Bezdin and says, guys, I killed somebody just now. We don't believe him, yeah? Now, can this guy be an aide somewhere else? Is he a Rasha? He's not a Rasha. We don't believe him that he did it. No, it's a logical thing. You can't testify against yourself because you're related.
Yeah, but yes, you could.
You can't testify against yourself.
If he did tshuva and he actually did those...
That's between him and God. You can't testify against yourself in Bezdin.
But he did.
Yeah, but it's not a testimony he did. It doesn't matter what he did. It's not halachically a testimony. No, because he's not believed to testify against himself.
Only for
testimony. Only, no, any Rashi said even for Malkus. If a guy comes to Bezdin and says, I ate chazer, give me a whip. Give me a whip. Whip me. Yeah? You can't whip him. He's not believed. Now he's not believed that you don't whip him. The guy's a kosher Jew. He can be a witness somewhere. The only interesting thing we said by Hakosha, each group is kosher to go testify later. But if the one guy from group A and one guy from group B goes, so then it's a machlaikis if you believe him or not.
The fact that relatives are not witnesses...
That's also... That's completely illogical.
That's a chok, right?
Yeah, chok. Completely illogical.
Why is it a machlokes here, but with tuma it's not a machlokes?
Because tuma is suffik tuma. It's a whole different din. It's a whole different concept.
Suffik tuma, is it the right
thing? Suffik tuma is tar min ha-teira, yeah. And b'shus yocha tami is min ha-teira. What? Okay. Anyway, so coming back to the Gemara that we learned even last week already. So, Eidzaimim that testified in Tishrei became disqualified half a year later in Nissan, right? Is he retroactively disqualified or not? So Abaye says he's retroactively disqualified. Rava says it's a Chiddush. He can only become disqualified from here on. Okay? Ika the Ami, other people say, Rava Nami Kabaye Svirali. Abaye really Rava holds like they should be disqualified retroactively. They really should. Why aren't they? Because we don't want buyers to lose from it. Meaning like this. If a guy signed on a document,
which one?
The witnesses, these two discredited witnesses, signed the document.
The first one.
Right. In other words, if they say that a land deed of a sale, yeah? To between Tishrei and Nisan is Chanukah. So let's say in Chanukah they signed a deed for a buyer that he bought land. Yeah? Now, if you disqualify them retroactively,
yeah, they are disqualified.
So that deed is not a deed. Right? So who's going to lose out? The buyers. So Rava says, you're right. They should be disqualified retroactively. This is the second opinion of the Gemara. But Chacham said, when it comes to financial things, we're going to have to believe them. Because otherwise, the Lekuchos are going to lose.
Why is it so important, Lekuchos? All over Shas, we talk about Lekuchos that we are in favor of.
Because we don't want, yeah, we don't want buyers to be messed up.
But why the blood of the buyers are redder than the...
It's not a question of blood. They're innocent people. They took two people to sign a document. What did they do wrong?
Two of these people are innocent also, from Eden Zomami.
No, so they're Taka Kosher.
But we don't know which one.
My Benayu, what's the difference? He says, Ika Benayu, da sidi beitreik echad. When two sets of witnesses testified to discredit one set of witnesses. Okay? Now, meaning, group A becomes disqualified by B, and B becomes disqualified by C. Inami de psalin begazlonusa. If the second set were disqualified by the fact that they committed robbery. So then, because it's biblically not kosher, then the second witness is not valid. In other words, like this. The Rava would admit to Abaye that the first set is disqualified retroactively because they said they were ganovim. They were liars. And otherwise not. So the Gemara says, Ovid Ramirya Medifte, Ramirya Medifte said, Ovid Rapapi Uvde Kavasi the Rava. Rapapi actually ruled like, in a case, they had a case that Rapapi ruled like Rava, and Mar Baravashi, Mar the son of Ravashi, ruled like Abaye, and the Gemara says, what's the halacha? Ahilchus the kavasi the abaya be yalkagam. Yalkagam is six places in Shas with halacha the kabaya. And the first is the one we learn now is Adam Zaymimin, which is the ayin. Yud is Yishle Midas. Okay, then the Gemara is going to say a few more cases. One more case where there's an argument between abaya and rava. Normally the rule is in Shas. When there's an argument between Abaye and Rava, the halacha is like Rava. Except in six places in Shas, the halacha is like Abaye.
To be passing according to the last, because Marbar Rav Ashi was the end of the Gemara.
No, but the Gemara is not being necessarily because of that.
No?
The Gemara is Paskin, because the halacha is like Abaye in Yalkagam.
So always Rav Ashi is the...
No, not necessarily.
Later generations, we don't in the time in within the Gemara, we don't go based on later generations.
Let me tell you something. Rav Papi was also after Rava because Abaye and Rava were the end of the Gemara, right?
Yeah, but Rav Ashi was the
Marba Rav Ashi. Yeah, but it was all in the same time.
Rabbi,
what?
When there is a case, would they announce it in the city so all the witnesses could come to the court?
Yeah. No, besides that, there's a din in Torah. If you know witness testimony, you have to go to Beis Din. If you see Reuven kill Shimon,
you
have to go to Beis Din. Beis Din doesn't have to say, okay, we have a murder. Does anybody knows anything? Like on the news they say, if anybody knows anything about the... Over there, you have an obligation to go to court.
If you don't, it's a negative commandment.
It's a big negative commandment.
Were Abaye and Rava related?
No. Abaye and Rabba were related.
Rabba raised Abaye?
Rabba raised Abaye, was his uncle. Abaye and Rabba were just very close friends.
They were contemporaries.
Contemporary close friends. Abaye was a student. Abaye and Rabba were Talmidim of Rabba and Rav Yosef.
Right. Who lived longer, Abaye or Rabba? They both lived
to... Rabba died at 40, Abaye died at 60.
But they were both Kohanim? They were both... descendants of Eli?
I think, yeah.
But Abaye did also mitzvahs? Rabba only
did... No, he did gemilas sada mitzvahs. Okay, next case. Mocher, mumer, echol, nevelis, tiyovin. If a rebellious Jew ate treifa meat, l'tiyovin, for enjoyment. Not despite. Yeah, because divrei hakol pasul, everybody says he's pasul. Okay? Now, he chooses, well, how do we know that? So Rashi explains, when there's kosher meat available, he eats kosher meat. He only eats non-kosher meat when there's not kosher meat. So he's not eating to spite. So everybody says he's pots. What happens if he eats it la'achis? He eats it just to spite. Is that guy also not kosher to testify?
That's even worse.
1 second, we'll see in the Gemara. No. So the argument to Abaye and Rav. Abaye Amar Pasul. Abaye says he's not kosher to testify because he's a Rashi. Gemara's going to explain why. Rav Amar kosher. Rav says he's kosher. Why? Abaye Amar Pasul. Davale Rasha. Listen, bottom line, he's treif. You know, bottom line, he's a Rasha. Right? And the Torah says, Atosh Yotcha Eid Chamas. You can't have a Rasha who's a witness. Rav Amar kosher. Because Rasha the Chamas Be'inin. You need a racha which is similar to stealing. Meaning like this. It's a very interesting concept. Rava holds, he's only possible when it comes to money. Monetary benefit. If he's not, if the sin is not financially motivated, he's not disqualified.
Where do you see that, Rava?
Because he says, Al tashis yotcha im racha, Rasha the Chomas be'inin.
What does that mean? Chomas? Because of Chomas? The word Chomas?
Because of stealing, yeah.
Chomas means...
Because the Pasuk says, Atoshis Yotchim Rasha, Liyais Eid Chomas.
Okay.
To be a disqualified witness. But Chomas means stealing. So Rava holds, the only time, Chomas, the only time Rava says a witness is disqualified is when he's doing it for financial gain. Why? Because then you can't believe him in any type of financial testimony. He doesn't respect money. This is what Rav holds.
You can't trust him in kashrut, he can't be a mashiach?
According to Rav, yeah.
That's a memo.
The only problem is Aloch Zekabaya, this is one of the Yal Kagam cases.
Uh-huh. That's a memo, right?
Yeah, yeah, the memo of that.
Rabbi, how about if they had a bad credit?
You just disqualified the world.
No, I mean, credit as far as that from previous experience that the Beit Din had with this person, that he was not honest or he lied to the court or etc.
Bad credit is different than dishonesty.
Would that affect...
Yeah, not necessarily, name. No.
Bad name. That's what I meant, bad name.
Bad reputation.
Yeah, but that's the marshal. There's a Gemara in Bamitzi, a choshed amameina. In other words, a person who's suspected to be dishonest in money. There's an argument, choshed ashvuasa, is he disqualified to swear also or not? In other words, some people, one opinion of the Gemara says that even a guy who's suspected, like you said, bad name is not proven, that he would lie in money. But necessarily, that doesn't mean he'll lie when it comes to a shvuah, because a shvuah is scary and it's awesome, you know. And one opinion says, no, if he's suspected to lie in money, he's suspected to lie in a shvuah also.
So that is from previous experience, right?
Right.
Chomas doesn't mean stealing a human.
So according to Rava, the only time, so why by mumer l'tiyovin? Okay. If the guy would eat, okay, we'll see later in the Gemara why. So then, why if he eats nevela l'teyoven, it's also financial because he's able to get it, so he's eating it. Okay, Meisvei, the Gemara says, I'll ask you a question. It says, Al Tarshish Yotcha Eid, Al Tarshish Chomes Eid. What does it mean, the double expression, the two psukim? Elo Gazlonim refers to robbers, or Melin Vishvus, and guys who abuse oaths. Okay? So this Bryce says, Who is not kosher to testify? A guy who's an evildoer in robbery and abuses oaths. So the Gemara thought now, Malav Shvur Shav Vechad Shvur Shmamin, whether it's oaths in vain or oaths for money. That means, what do we see from here? That even a guy who's suspected to make false oaths is also disqualified. Aye, there's no money involved. He's just lying that he did something when he didn't. There's no money involved. So Gemara says, no. Both refers to monetary cases. Monetary oaths. Umay shvuos, what does shvuos plural mean? Shvuos da alma, oaths in the world that exist, or whatever. The Gemara asks, why does it say the word shvuos plural? Which means different type of oaths. So it means, obviously, monetary oaths and regular oaths. Like if a guy says, I'm going to do something and he didn't. Or a guy said, I did something and he didn't. Yeah? So Gemara thought, that also disqualifies him from being a witness. Because he lied. So the question is, Rava says only monetary liars. And this is not a monetary liar. So the Gemara says, no, it means only monetary shvuos. Only monetary oaths. Why does it say shvuos plural? It means shvuos, the type of oaths in the world. But it only means, according to Rava, oaths that the person is disqualifying himself in financial things. Then the Gemara says, Mesa, I'll ask you a question. Again, the same passage. It says that you can't be a Russia to be a witness. It says, what does the pasuk mean? Gazlonim or Malavi Ribis. It says only Gazlonim and people that lend money with interest, which is also stealing.
Why not? It's stealing human beings.
What?
So it's still human beings.
Stealing human beings?
Meaning that why do we connect Hamas to the financial? Maybe it's other issues of stealing a human being.
Called kidnapping.
Okay, kidnapping.
The Gemara says, who is disqualified as a witness? Robbers and interest takers. Yeah? Now, both of those are financially stealing. And yet, only those the Torah disqualifies, this Brisa says. So according to Abaya says, any sin is disqualified, right? This Brisa seems to prove against Abaya. So the Gemara answer is interesting. Tiyufta da Abaya Tiyufta. Abaya is refuted. But if you stick around, the Gemara rules like Abaya anyway. And the Gemara is going to ask, but we just refuted him. That the price that goes according to somebody else that we don't hold by.
Is this still the case that's one of the six cases?
The six one cases, yeah.
Were they both from the school of thought of Hillel, Abaye and Rava?
Hillel?
Yeah.
Hillel was a few hundred years before them.
I understand, but at this moment, yeah. Was it all according to Hillel? There was no Shamayniks left, or there were still Hillel and Shamayin?
No, that didn't exist anymore.
That was only the
Mishnayos
period?
Only for a few, two generations afterwards. Afterwards, there was no Bishon Bishami.
Afterwards?
They merged, I guess, I don't know.
Mishnayos was all according to Hillel anyways.
No.
And this is the
not necessarily. Why? There's Mishnayos full of Shammai.
No. In terms of halacha. In terms of psak halacha.
The halacha is always like Beis Hillel.
Yeah, so since that was already established, now they're working their way through Mishnayos. This is the Gemara period.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with Hillel and Shammai? I don't get it.
Because I was just wondering why Abaya is so left out. Only six cases is according to him. Because
Allah is always like Rav, except in those six cases.
Okay. has nothing to do with
Abaya. Nothing to do with Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai.
They just didn't like him?
Huh?
They didn't like him? I mean, when somebody's completely always out, there's no reason.
When a mayor of Rabbi Yesi, halacha Rabbi Yesi. The mayor of Rabbi Yehuda, halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Poor Rabbi Meir.
Yeah, we never go by Rabbi Meir.
Yeah, why? Yeah,
no
you
one
know, because he was too smart.
Too smart.
Yeah, so not because he was no good.
Okay, fine.
The Pshim Bayuchoy, when there's an argument between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yesi, all colleagues, yeah, the halacha is never like Rabbi Shimon Nebuch. Rabbi Shimon Bayuchoy was a great man. The halacha is not like him because he wasn't a great man.
No, yeah, but ways. There was a reason behind it. Why is it that? Yeah, what is the reason that always they go again?
Abai was super great.
Was Abai too analytical?
I don't know. I wasn't there. Never met the guy.
Who made the rules up, Rabbi?
From the way it is in
huh?
Who made the rules up? Like we always go by this person.
Did he shame him?
Yeah, the Rambam.
The Rosh, not the Rambam usually doesn't say who's, but the Rosh a lot of times says, the Gemara a lot of times gives opinions. Like the Gemara will say, whenever Rebbe argues with a friend, the halacha is like Rebbe. But if he argues with the Chacham, the halacha is like the Chacham. Halacha is always like Rebbe Kiva. But if he argues again, this the Gemara says. The Gemara says a lot of rules in halacha that we get, but the Rishonim have traditionally accepted certain guidelines. The Rosh brings down the Ran. Let me know they bring down guidelines. The whole system.
They're all saying the same thing.
Usually, in this, they all say the same thing. Sometimes halacha is you paskin like a later person versus an earlier person, but sometimes you paskin like an earlier person versus a later person. Somebody once asked the Rebbe, I heard this from the brother of the guy that asked the Rebbe. Somebody once asked the Rebbe, there are many cases that the elder Rabbanim Lubavitch didn't rule like the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch. So he asked the Rebbe if the older Chabad Rabbanim, the great Chabad Rabbanim, didn't rule like the Alter Rebbe, do you follow them or do you follow the Alter Rebbe? So the Rebbe answered, they definitely knew what the Alter Rebbe said. And yet they're saying what they're saying, so you go what they say. Because obviously these Rabbanim knew what Alter Rebbe said. And yet they have a reason why they don't paskal like that.
Who did they hold by? By the any other
folk? They held, but they probably had traditional. Sometimes there's an argument between Alter Rebbe and Samach Tzedek. We paskal like Samach Tzedek. Okay? Which is logical because the Tzemach Tzedek obviously knew what the Alter Rebbe said, and yet he disagreed with him. Yeah? But by Tefillin, there's an argument, a famous argument between the Alter Rebbe and Tzemach Tzedek. If you write with one hand, you do everything else with your left, with the other. For Tefillin, you need to be right-handed or left-handed. So, everybody says it goes primarily by writing. Yeah? What happens if you write with your right hand, and you do everything else with your left hand?
Possible.
Well, it's a lot of people like that, or vice versa. They write with the left, and they do everything else with their right. So the Alter Rebbe says, only writing, and that's it. Whatever you write with, that's what makes you right-handed or left-handed.
If you write with both hands, because
then you're right-handed. What happens, though, if you do everything else with the other hand? So the Alter Rebbe says you go only by writing. Samach Tzedek says you go by everything else. It's a heavy duty argument. And what's unique is that Tzemach Tzedek and the Tshuva doesn't even bring down the Alter Rebbe B'chal. It's a whole question. So there's a whole fight, even amongst the Lubavitch Rabbanim. Who do you paskin like?
Maybe he didn't know.
You're paskin to Tzemach Tzedek. And then somebody quoted a story of the Rebbe, and that the Rebbe said, you go like the Tzemach Tzedek. And other people, the guy that the story happened to says, that's not exactly what the Rebbe said. There's a whole, even till today. So what a lot of guys do, they'll put tefillin on both ends.
Right.
Oh, yeah.